So listen, we've got a really special treat this morning. Some say, in preparation for his message, he sleeps in his suit in order to soak up the prophetic anointing and dreams and visions that the Lord gives him in the night. I can only be talking about one person, and that is the bishop himself. So let's please welcome Sean Michael Foster. Michael.
Michael. Oh, we're being Hebrew this morning, huh? Whoa, it's a nice crowded house this morning, first service. Everyone's like awake. I think. How goes the fight? It goes on? Well, yes, it does. Well, good morning, friends. I hope everyone's doing well. Wow, wait, Amy and Brian, you guys switched it up and sat somewhere different? We were joking about that at a party the other night, how, like, everyone sticks within their four-chair radius. So that when someone moves from one, I think it was Glenn Tosi told me, he says, we are real rabble-rousers. We go in other people's territories, and they go, hi, how are you? Are you a first-time visitor? And they're like, no, we've been here a year, but we sit over on that side of the sanctuary. And so there seems to this divide. I encourage you, break out and go into other seats that you normally don't sit in. You may have a profound experience. It could be just like earth-shaking, you know, like you might even meet someone you didn't even know went to the church. Anyway, well, the title of my message today is A Time for War. And Ecclesiastes talks about how sometimes there's a time for peace, sometimes there's a time for war. Well, first Sunday of 2017, I preached a message on God's promises of wealth. You know, we have this promise God gave to us in about 2005 that's about land, wealth, and souls. And that was 7 years before we acquired that side of the property. And we were looking at like 2-acre plots, different places, dreaming big, right? And God gave us, you know, this whole land. And so we believe God's going to give us land, which he has, and wealth, so that a massive harvest of millions of souls will come into the kingdom. Amen. That is the climax of it all. But you need money, you need resource to do that. As the year progressed, so that was my first message. I gave a message on wealth. We talked about responsibility to steward wealth, like when God gives it. We talked about the incredible leverage that we have as Americans as the top percent in the world of wealth. The poorest of you in here, the one that struggles the most, is like a millionaire in some countries. It's just absolutely staggering. If you had a global concept and realized how much you've been given, you would probably reassess your whole life. As the year progressed last year, it seemed as if all that could be shaken was shaken. And I mean, everywhere I turned, friends were going through all kinds of things with their family, their kids, their relationships. You know, floods, displacements, family troubles. Anyway, it's been a time where many have experienced and still continue right now to experience great difficulty. At the same time, this promise of souls is like a billowing rain cloud on the horizon. I mean, I see it. I see it with powerful conversions of young people. The Crossing becoming a central gathering place for the next generation. I see a disruption of the drug epidemic. Amen. I mean, I see this. It's all right there. You can almost touch it, like in a picture. A massive harvest unloading like the rain cloud giving birth to millions of drops. Just downpour. When God gave us the land, it was no different. The supernatural acquisition, which it was supernatural. I don't have time to get into it again, but It was birthed in great conflict, threats, concern about the risk of so much debt. There was a lot of concern about that because, you know, it's like $1 million over there. We don't even have any money in the bank, you know. And with God, I found you cannot, at least if you have a track record. There's a lot of people that say it's God that I get an Escalade and I can't even afford to pay my mortgage. Okay, I'm not talking that kind of stupidity. I'm talking about those who have a proven track record of hearing God, taking risk, and then having God show up time and time again, and then he calls you to this big place of decision and risk. There's no way to avoid the risk with God. You just have to start on small levels in case you mess up. There was concern or risk. Eventually, it even ended up with litigation with the town. This brought on a huge battle that required most of my time. Incredible stress, emotional turmoil, including things like feeling such a sense of shame. And finances that we didn't have. You know, I remember bringing, part of the whole thing was a stack of papers this much that I had to draft. I mean, I'm talking details from the number of people that went to every service for a year, how many children that involved, what buildings they met in, what all our beliefs were and our policy was for all the different things we did. And I produced a document about that big. Every receipt on every expenditure that we've had in the past since we acquired the building. And I remember just working tirelessly on this. Like, it was incredibly overwhelming. And I brought it to prayer furnace and just laid it on the altar and said, God, help me. Help. And thank God for, at the time, I think Chuck Benedict Sr. was doing attendance, and he had faithfully sent me text messages of how many kids and how many adults were in services. So I was able to go through my text messages and construct this whole report for this interrogatory. But anyway, needless to say, this thing was huge. And I just remember being exhausted. And then I remember we needed $50,000. Now, we didn't have savings. We really didn't. $50,000 to pay our taxes for the year. Because that's how much it is for both sides, or was. $50,000 to pay it so that we could keep fighting to not have to pay taxes. Does that make sense? I don't know. But that's what we had to do. We couldn't be in default when we were going to fight to be free from taxes. So, supernaturally. Now, after this, we owed probably another $50,000 just for all the litigation costs. Attorneys, engineers to do different zoning and planning things that had to be part of all this. So $50,000 we needed that we didn't have, and then $50,000 we knew we'd need after that we didn't have. And I'm telling you, folks, God supplied it all, like supernatural provision. It was so crazy, and we didn't know, but we had to keep walking and fighting the whole time. And it came in supernaturally. I mean, from one source, I don't even know how the person found out. Didn't even go to the church. Just came over for coffee and said, you know, I've heard you need some money. We'd love to give it. We'd love to just, like, let you use this and fight this battle that you're engaged in. So, you know, Paul's life was filled with this kind of turmoil. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:16. I repeat, no one should consider me a fool, Paul says. But if you do, at least accept me as a fool, so that I too may boast a little. What I say in the matter of boasting, I don't speak as the Lord would, but foolishly. Since many boast in an unspiritual way, I will also boast. For you, being so wise, gladly put up with fools. In fact, you put up with it if someone enslaves you, if someone devours you, if someone captures you, if someone dominates you, or if someone hits you in the face. I just say this to our shame. We have been weak. But in whatever anyone dares to boast, I am talking foolishly, I also dare. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm talking like a madman. I'm a better one, with far more labors, many more imprisonments, far worse beatings, near death many times. 5 times received 39 lashes from Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods by the Romans. 1 I was stoned by my enemies. 3 I was shipwrecked. I've spent a night and a day in the open sea. On frequent journeys, I face dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people. Dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the open country, danger in the sea, dangers among false brothers, labor and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and lacking clothing.
Oh, the Apostle Paul? I thought Christians weren't supposed to suffer hardship.
Not to mention other things. There is daily pressure on me, my care for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If boasting is necessary, I will boast on my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is praised forever, knows I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor, King Aretas, guarded the city in Damascus in order to arrest me. So I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. You know, I think somehow we get this false thing of the Bible that says that Christians just always, you know, escape through the blindness, supernatural blindness of the on the enemies. And we have all these fairy tale beliefs of what Christianity is. The Bible's really clear. Paul suffered a lot of things. And you know what? There's miracles that riddle a life of a believer. But it's not always the case. Why? I don't know. You ask Jesus. You have a relationship with him. The point I'm making is, whether you have or whether you have not, we are to trust God. He has everything under control. But the question is, will you trust him? Will you trust him when it's hard? Would you trust him when it's easy? Will you trust him when you have not? Will you trust him when you have? Will you trust him when you're really struggling? Will you trust him when you're just rolling in the dough? Some of you have never rolled in the dough. You're like, that'd be nice just for a little. The land and the buildings that we're enjoying now have been paid for by the ones who have gone before you. Some are in this room. Actually, those of you who helped with this sanctuary, this land, that land over there, just stand. Now, some of you I know have helped a lot with things currently. But look at that. Look around. You would think that, you know, at that time we probably had, oh, I don't know, like 100 people when we got that building. And those are the people in this first service that were here. And you should go to them after service, pat them on the back, give them a big hug, and say, thank you so much for sowing into this that I could come on a Sunday and just kick back and just enjoy God's presence. Because there were people, you know, that didn't just show up for one work week, one work night, right? We had work seasons, like months-long seasons of working every day at the church. And we'd come in, and this whole place was full of insulation. One night, we just, like, played in fiberglass insulation. No batting, nothing. We got all this free insulation, and it was just, the whole floor was covered. And so I think Wes Shattuck was somewhere in the mix, but he would just take big handfuls and go like this over his head, and the person up on the staging would take it over his head and shove it up there so we could be warm this winter. But I'm saying, like, the incredible cost that went into preparing this, and many of us don't even think about that anymore. Why? Because we've been so blessed. We come and go, wow. Actually, the plumber who put in like $35,000 he donated in this HVAC system, last night I saw him at a gathering, and he said, wow, the church is looking incredible. I'm like, you think? Because, you know, we're always like trying to tie up loose ends and things like that. And he's like, yeah, it is amazing. Well, this is all a result of the blood, sweat, and tears of many people that have given. And that is not forgotten. We've established something that generations after us are going to enjoy. Now, this is important. I'm going somewhere. In the same way, there will be those who will be able to stand for being responsible in bringing the fulfillment of wealth and souls. May we be strong and courageous in bringing forth the promises of God. Mark my words, folks. 5 years, 10 years from now, we'll be in a place of massive harvest realized. And we'll all be looking around and say, remember the day that we were there looking forward and saying, there's coming a harvest. And then we're going to be in that place of harvest, just as we are right now, looking at a nice building that we're able to meet in. Back then, we were looking at each other dying, saying, are we going to be able to finish this thing? This is overwhelming. We would hang schematics on those windows back there, like of 10 pages. And it would just have all these tasks. And then we'd put little names next to people who had said, I'll do that. I'll finish that up. This went on and on. It was exhausting. It took everything in us to keep coming and doing it. Some days I was ready to just scream because it was me and the construction company that I actually paid to, like, keep going on it. I mean, incredible. It was grueling. It doesn't seem bad now because we're past. It's like a birthing. We birthed this building. And now we're all enjoying it and the kids growing up and, you know, and you forget how bad the birthing was. Yeah, see, ladies, you birth in the natural. Some of us birth in the spirit. Shabbat. You know, I had this revelation this morning. For years, people have known me to be busy. And with this flood, you know, I had just quit construction because the leadership team was like, we really need you. You need to just lay that down and we'll stand with you in it. And I'm like, great, okay, excellent. I did it. I felt great. I said, Lord, I'm so obedient to you. Yes. You know, when you're obedient to something scary and you feel good because you stepped out. Well, I did that. And then, bam, I get hit with this crisis that is the same thing. And I've been really troubled by it because I was like, is this the devil? Is this God? I felt like God said, it's me. You just got to trust me. I have steps. I have an ordered way to get you where I want to bring you. And not only you, but the body, because I represent the body. I'm like a big living demonstration of where he's bringing us, and it's me. And so this morning I had this revelation that brought me such peace, though. I started looking back what I just kind of recounted to you. And I've realized I and we have a breaker anointing and mandate that requires spiritual warfare to break through and obtain the promise of God. Now, I know that's not a staggering new thought, okay? I knew that, but it hit me. It hit me and brought light to even what I'm going through now. We're pioneers preparing the way for future people, future generations. And all believers do this to some extent. We press on, we overcome to obtain a promise. But we, the Crossing, the mandate of Life Alliance, we carry an intensified corporate mandate for this due to what he's called us to do. As an apostolic center, an Antioch hub, God's called us to be a spearhead. Now, I want you to get this, because one time when I said to someone we are a forerunner, a very astute individual, turned to me and said, in this long conversation, well, isn't that kind of elite? Like you saying, oh, you know, you're forerunner. What is that all about? And I said, why do people have to know that? Why do you have to say that? I said, oh, it's easy. It's nothing to do with being elite. It means that we're going to fall and scrape our knees and stumble through and get hit in the face with branches. That's what that means. Like, and people deserve to know this is kind of a hostile area. And anyone who wants to, like, run in the front line needs to realize, you know, get ready. Branches are going to, you know, because even when you try to hold branches back when you're running through the woods, you always get whacked. And then the person behind you, like, thanks a lot. You know, bam. I'm sorry, it slipped out of my hand. I'm trying. Prickers, thorns, poison ivy, all that kind of stuff. You're pioneering. That's why you need to know we are pioneers. We're forerunners, folks. And if you still need to grow in some courage and stuff, just lag back a little, not too far, but lag back a little. And those of us who are all scarred up, we'll go ahead and take all the whacks of the branches. That's what we're here for. It's a recognition of a divine call, a responsibility to prepare a way and build what he's called us to build from nothing but faith. There's no plush bank account. There's no generous funding. There's no mega church of volunteers. Just Christ in us. A side note. This is going to be one of the most exciting places to be on the face of the earth as God fulfills his promise. Wealth and souls, young and old, you have an opportunity to be part of this on the ground level. You get to own the thrill of Christ doing something before your very eyes that's humanly impossible. Beyond your ability, experiencing divine purpose. And, you know, my great adventure, Evan, Scotland again, just for a couple weeks here, but he was really struggling with coming back. And it's too early to call him. I didn't seek permission for this, but I'm just going to give a very vague. He was like, you know, he's in a great place over there. He's in a great place. There's just a church that's teeming with young people. A church that's just flooded with a bunch of people. And they love to travel. They love to take adventure. These people, you know, he's like, Dad, you know, our church is full of people who have never left the state. Like, I'd rather be around people who, like, love to travel. They like to take adventure, take risk. Just go have fun, be crazy. And so he was praying, and I was just hesitant to really give counsel because I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I mean, what am I supposed to say? I'm like, I want you to come back, but I'm not going to, like, be manipulating you to try to get my way. I want God to do what he wants to do in your life. And if that's to go and do something great for God, go and do something great for God. Jesus, please let it be here. Right? And so he prayed and he's like, wow, that wasn't much help. And I'm thinking, well, if you want, I wish I could give you the help I want to give you, but if I do, it's manipulation. I just feel like it's manipulation. You got to pray, hear from God, you know, forge your own way. And so he comes and he said, well, I don't want to come back. But as I prayed, God spoke to me and said, why do you keep looking as a consumer? Why don't you be part of the solution? Why don't you lay down your life and then you can see me move and do something that's just crazy amazing? So he committed to that and he came back and this is your challenge today. You see a lack. Have some strength and courage to be part of the solution. This is the kind of people that God needs to rally together when you pioneer and forge. Some of you really like where you're at in this church. That's great, but there's a lot of deficiencies. We need an outpouring of Holy Ghost and just awesome things happening in our young people. In our children, sure, it's good, but it needs to, like, be Whoa! Everything needs to be, whoa! Every person needs to feel very connected with those around them, connected with people who share their same struggles and things like that. We have a flood support group going on if anyone wants to be a part, you know. Now it was great. God, like, released wonderful weather on us, and it allowed many more people to come into our support group. No, it's really sad, but listen to what it says. In one of my age-old favorite scriptures, right, Matthew 11:12. Back in the day, we quoted this because we were such radical servants. Whoa! You know, Lord, I'll love you even unto death. Yes! You know, such passionate folks. Well, those claims have to be substantiated when we grow up. It's not just for young zealots. It's for us, you and me. Regardless, I can't take risks anymore and sacrifice. I have a family. Don't you know that? Or I'm 60. Don't you know that? I'm sure God knows that. I'm sure God knew that with Moses. He was getting kind of old. Just kind of. Up over 100. Way over 100. When Jesus finished giving orders to his 12 disciples, he moved from there to teach and preach in the towns. When John heard in prison what Messiah was doing, he sent a message to his disciples and asked him, "Are you the one who has come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, those with skin diseases are healed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news. And if anyone is not offended because of me, he is blessed." And these men went away, began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swaying in the wind, such a lovely sight. And when did you and then did you go out to see a man dressed in soft clothes? Look, those who wear soft clothes are in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and far more than a prophet. This is the one it is written about. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare a way before you." This is what we're talking about. Prophetic pioneers. "I assure you, among those born of women, no one greater than John the Baptist has appeared. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days," this is the one we quoted, "from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence. And the violent have been seizing hold of it by force. If you're willing to accept it, anyone who has ears should listen." So we have this, you know, and Jesus is our peace, so to balance this all out, he is our peace even in time of war. But our posture needs to be one of, when there are promises released, there will come war to obtain those promises. Spiritual warfare. I'm not talking about just like some difficult situations and circumstances. I'm talking about psycho warfare. Like where you feel like you're going insane, saying, like, am I like just absolutely clueless to think that God is going to show up in this mess of my life? But you got to stand, and you got to cast down those vain imaginations. And this whole time, God is schooling you to be a more formidable son and daughter of God. Do you think like growth comes just kind of coasting through? Do you think the feelings, you know, of loneliness and disconnectedness and lack of hope, you've lost hope, do you think all of that just kind of dissipates by you saying, "Excuse me, Jesus, can you help me?" No, it takes you exerting yourself, yearning for things ahead, pressing forward, not looking back, and grabbing hold of things, doing some things that are hard, almost inconceivable. I mean, what's the use of being a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, if you never get to use it? If your life consists of a bunch of things that are just humanly, you're able to just work through, what do you need the Holy Ghost for? The Holy Ghost is given to you to use and access. He's like, I am your servant. Use me. When you get to those situations, you just cannot bear. Holy Ghost, help. He goes, okay, let's go. You lead the way. I got your back. Just presses forward. But he's letting you do it because that's the thing with God. He wants us to grow. He wants us to become real sons and daughters, not just people, oh, God, please do this. Oh, God, please do that. Okay, oh, I can't look. It's too scary. Oh, good job, God. Okay. And we run and hide behind the next bush. He wants us to walk with our heads up as sons and daughters of the Most High with courage and strength. We've overcome fear that disables. And we look at things in the eye and we go right at it. No passive aggressiveness. He's stripped you from that. He's stripped your fear. He's stripped your cowardice. He's stripped your hopelessness. Yeah. And I'm telling you, folks, sometimes Goliath hides in your family. I'm telling you, it's a tough thing. In your best friends. Because sometimes following God and standing with God means you risk that all. Because doesn't the scripture say really clearly, if you try to save or place your family above Christ, it will be stripped. Christ has no one ahead of him. And sometimes he causes you to stand and put your foot down and you're ready to just freak out inside because of fear and concern and like, oh, this is awful. All this stuff could happen. And you start thinking of all the terrible things that can happen from you obeying God and standing strong and doing what you're supposed to do with integrity. And you have to overcome that fear. It's fear, folks. It's fear. Fear of what you might lose. Fear of what mistakes you might make. Do you believe that God is bigger than you? Do you believe that you can like actually step out and believe God and take some strong stands of obedience of what's right and let the chips fall where they may? And if you messed up, God is big enough to pick up the pieces. Believe me, you are not going to cause his plans to stumble. Where's your heart? Do the best that you can to follow him. We're already seeing little buds of breakthrough come up as a few people are getting paid 2 to 3 times what they made before, as others are getting settlements. I was in the Austin house recently and ran into an old pastor friend who's super prophetic. And we're just talking about the weather, and all of a sudden he says, hold on, I just got to tell you something. I'm getting this overwhelming sense. God is going to place you in an opulent house. I just see this big, colonial, like, impressive, opulent place. Opulent means, like, super extravagant, right? And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, well, you know, I mean, in my mind, I'm saying, yeah, we've been given a promise of wealth, but, like, right now, I'm not in an opulent place at all. And I'm thinking this in my mind, saying, how interesting. Lord, you're so funny. Ha, 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 ha. I love prophetic ministry. And then I went, but there was a little spark of encouragement in my heart. And I'm like, well, God definitely knows where I'm at. And, you know, I don't know. Opulent to me, I have a big imagination. So opulent to me is more like palatial, mansion-like. You know, so opulent is a big thing to kind of hold up to. But I feel like, you know, just on the 7th, I mean, this a week after that, we're looking all the way through Craigslist, desperately seeking for a place to stay. And this thing pops up, brand new listing. I call and like just days before I called, someone had rented it for a month. So, you know, it kind of makes things difficult. You have to kind of jostle things around. And he's placed us in this, well, I guess opulent place. It's like God is faithful. He's faithful enough to be talking about the weather at a youth center and have someone, wait a minute, you know, I'm telling you, there's something going on. God's doing something. He's going to provide for you in an extravagant way. This is all testimony. As God pours out wealth, I see the ones who God is actually prospering with next level income are those who already heavily invested in financing kingdom activity already, even as they contend for greater breakthrough. Listen, folks, you cannot just say, well, God's given me a promise of this and not do anything to move toward it. I don't care whether it's idea of financial wealth, emotional wealth, spiritual wealth, whatever it is, whatever promise God's given you, you got to take steps in the place that you can to step toward that, press toward that. It's like weightlifting, you know? You don't get jacked playing with like little dumbbells. You gotta push yourself and say, wow, I've never done that, but I'm gonna do this for the first time. And you push it. You want promises of God in your life to be fulfilled, those things He's spoken to you. You think it's gonna be easy? The natural's easier than the supernatural. And if it's hard in the natural, it was hard to finish this building. Those details, those last untied ends. It's tough. It's hard. It's hard to overcome some of these things. Great resources are being released in this season into the house of God. But your stewardship with your first level of breakthrough will determine if you get the ultimate upgrade you were designed to step into. And this is for all areas, you know? If right now God's challenging you to let go of your past and not let it inform the future with your relationships, your interaction with people, your interaction with church, your interaction with family members, you're not going to end up where you want to be unless you let God deal with you on these small levels. As long as you have tentacles to the past, it's going to inform your future and corrupt and frustrate the plan. And you will take longer to get where you know God wants to bring you. It's all in surrender, 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 surrender. The degree of surrender maximizes the time of fulfillment of your promise. You know, I feel like, well, here's my threefold challenge, okay? One, allow God to change your mindsets and perspectives in life. We cannot do this on our own. It's the reason He's given us the body and things the body does, like first principles, life groups, prayer, outreach events, ministries. And it's not meant to you be a ministry all to your own, an island unto your own. The whole point of teams and ministry is connection, working together, building relationship. It's not about the work. It's about the process you're involved in and getting the job done that draws you together. You're in the trenches. There's no greater relationships, no deeper relationships forged than those between two soldiers who are stuck in war in the middle of a trench. You never have a deeper relationship ever. That comes because they shared together. Two, determined to be an active part of the solution and not a consumer. As long as you are looking to receive, you will be wanting. The scripture says if you lose your life, or give it away, you will find it. God has brought you here because he has a plan to use you. That is one of the words we just recently got, you know? And then you complain about being used. Used by God. You're like, God, I feel so used. He's like, that's the point. Let me use you, and I'll pour out such fulfillment. You'll be part of something you realize is so much greater. And the third one is start with what you have and give it. Finances, giftings, time, energy. Keep your attitude and focus on Jesus. And it's hard, folks. And I know these aren't trite challenges. These are heart-wrenching challenges. Because there's a lot of things attached to these challenges. I know. It's one of the hardest seasons I've ever gone through in my entire life. But he's faithful through it. But you got to be strong and courageous, and you got to be willing to take risk, to face challenges. Hey, you're struggling. Go to someone in the body, preferably not someone who's just as messed as you are. Go to someone who you see succeeding and overcoming and say, what do you think I should do? If someone just tells you everything and agrees with everything and listens, is such a good listener, they're like, yep, yep. Oh, yep. Whatever you think, yep. Those aren't the people you want to go to. You want to go to people who will say, well, why do you think that? Well, why would you want to do that? I don't know. Have you prayed about this? Go to people who challenge and push you a bit. Salah. Don't you feel warm and fuzzy right now? It's the truth, though, and I'll tell you what, this truth will sustain you. Jesus is big enough, and he's doing something great in your life. Hold steadfast, and when you don't know what to do, stand. When you don't know what to do, stand. When you're ready to give up, stand. And look to him and trust him. He's big enough. Come on, let's just stand and let him speak to you. Let him talk to you. Let him pour out now. I just pray, Lord, right now that you pour out strength and courage in our midst, God. Strength and courage. And Lord, I pray for everyone that as they are going through those hard times and steadfastly persevering, that you begin to add jewels to their crown and skill to their warfare. That, Lord, they'd be forged as incredible workmen, incredible reconcilers, bridge builders, healers. I pray right now, Lord God, that you would just pour out right now. Pour out in every heart. Pour out in every mind. I pray for strength and I pray for courage, God, to overcome your people. Let hope rise up like a flag in the distance that causes us to press on. I thank you, Lord. I just saw that. I saw a flag going up in so many of your hearts and minds that's given you hope that, oh, God is in this. He does have an end in mind. I can make this. I can trust him. A little longer. And I thank you, God, right now for the wealth that you're pouring out, for that great harvest of souls. And Lord, thank you for this opportunity to stand and to believe and to sweat and to bleed for what you've shown us, that generations after us, countless thousands, would be able to partake in something they don't even realize the cost of. And Lord, that you'd raise them up, a band of brothers and sisters that would also see in that time the need to press on and develop and build even further, that the generations after them would also experience things they didn't pay for. So Lord, come and use us this year. Sweep through the crossing, God. Yes. Stir hearts into action. Prepare us to prepare the way for the great harvest that's coming in, God. I pray that, Lord, you make us wise as those who hunger to win souls. Lord, give us dreams, give us visions, birth passions in our heart. Let us taste and see how awesome you are. Let that first love spring up once again, and that desire to share it with others spring up again. Lord, pour out on us, God. Refresh these weary hearts. Spring them into action as volunteers that are as numerous as the dew. Lord, open our eyes to see such a time as this. Stir hearts with fascination, with wonder, with strategy, with expectancy, with creativity. Give a glimpse, open up, take the veil off, and let us see just a peek into the future of all that you want to do in our midst, Lord. Give us faith, release it, stir it, that we're able to even receive the greatness of God in our midst. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, like, just hear from God now. Receive from him. Talk to him. You know, if you don't have even a hunger for the greatness of God, cry out to him right now. Ask him. Say, God, I don't even see good things ahead. I need that. Would you open my eyes? Would you open my heart? Pour it in right now, because I know you're able.